WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When the first American bombs dropped on Baghdad, Peter Arnett was on the ninth floor of the Al Rashid Hotel, describing it all live on CNN. His fame was instantaneous, but risking his life for a story was nothing new for him. The Gulf War was the 17th war he covered. Arnett is now back in Iraq, reporting on the UN weapons inspections for the Southland Times, the New Zealand paper where he began his career. Arnett is one of the CNN reporters portrayed in the new HBO movie Live from Baghdad, which premieres tomorrow night. I spoke with Peter Arnett in 1994 after his memoir Live from the Battlefield was published. You say in your memoir that you were afraid during the hours you were on the air of sounding shallow. Do you remember the kinds of things you said and the kinds of things you were worried about saying?
Well, the temptation was to compare the violence, the flashing lights, the noise, to what people identify with. Disneyland, New Year's Eve celebrations and fireworks. And I'd been around long enough to know that you cannot compare heavy bombing to any casual or trivial incident in life or any sort of show. But the temptation was, of course, to in a sense, glorify what was going on and get and to start describing the pyrotechnic effects rather than to remember that people were dying in these bombs, and the bombing was undertaken with a mission to, push back a belligerent.
How much could you tell about what was happening outside of the hotel?
We were very fortunate. Our bureau was on the ninth floor of the Al Rashid Hotel. It was as high a vantage point as you could hope for, short of being in a helicopter. In addition, we had visuals from both sides of the hotel because our suite connected to the northern part of the hotel and we were looking south. We could race back and forth and see the impact of the bombs. Now, the bombs were directed against several tall buildings in the Baghdad area, which were government offices, political offices, and security centers. We could literally see these buildings going apart. In addition, there was bombing of a petroleum production center along the Tigris River, which we could see, and there was just a lot of flares in the air. There was a lot of light, and so we could actually describe with considerable detail what was going on because we could just see it happening before us.
When did the censors show up, the Iraqi censors?
Later than we thought. When the bombing began and we started speaking freely on the air, describing everything we were watching, our presumption was that within a very short time, our minders, they were basically the censors, our minders would appear on the scene and either terminate our discussion or certainly control our discussion. What in fact happened was that the bombing, even though it had been threatened for weeks, caught Baghdad unexpectedly off guard. The city was not prepared. The air raid sirens were delayed. All the officials in the hotel panicked and rushed to the basement. The security people rushed to the basement. In fact, most of the press corps rushed to the basement. We stayed in our room because we had communications. So we were able to speak freely. This went on all night and through most of the next day, and it was not till the following evening, 17 hours after we started, that the decision was made by the Iraqi Information Ministry to terminate our direct coverage. And they came up to our room and insisted that we stop broadcasting. At that point in time, we'd told all you could possibly tell, basically, about Baghdad. Censorship didn't come until that point. Now, a day after that, the second day of the bombing, we were told by the Iraqi officials that future transmissions would be censored, that they would read our dispatches before we put them on the air and then would continue to restrict us.
What were the guidelines that your censor gave you?
They said no military information of any kind would be permitted to be broadcast. Now, initially, that information was understood by the Iraqis to mean that any attacks on government buildings, on installations which governments were using, whether they were ministries, military barracks, telecommunications centers, post offices, bridges, all this they forbid us to talk about. And initially, they attempted to restrict us to information about the prisoners of war, which they'd captured, government statements giving their version of the progress of the war, plus visitations to areas where there were civilian casualties.
Did they ever try to suggest what you should be reporting and what you should be saying?
They never at any point, you know, directly told me that I should be putting a greater spin on the Iraqi side of the war. But simply by restricting our visitation rights, by telling us that we could not talk to any military man, that we could not even mention we'd seen a military man, and by taking us in the countryside to areas where there had been only civilian damage and preventing us from reporting damage that we'd seen to military installations, it was quite restrictive. And in that way, they were controlling the information flow rather than by demanding that I report information more favorable.
Did you feel that by following their no military information guidelines that you were sacrificing your credibility or integrity?
Not at all, because similar restrictions were in place in Israel. They were in place in the Gulf, and I knew they were in place because my colleagues in Atlanta had told me the restrictions that the reporters were under. My mission each morning was to try to expand the horizon or expand the limitations that I was under. And I was very fortunate that in the first day that I was on the air with a satellite phone, because our major communication link, the four-wire hardline, was ultimately blown out of existence, and I started using the satellite phone, I was very fortunate that when the anchor in Atlanta started asking me questions and I responded, the Iraqi censors did not object to my unscripted answers. Now, the way it worked was that prior to going on the air, I would type out a couple of minutes of script. I would hand it to the Iraqis. They would go through it, check it out, and then give it back to me and say, okay, you can broadcast that. Now, I was restricted from making any offhand comments, but when I was talking to the anchors after each occasion, the Iraqis sort of allowed me to do that. I told them that it was important to better explain some of the details in my dispatch to inform the world and to better present their side of the story. They went along with that, and it reached the point where I was able to speak off the cuff for a half an hour, 40 minutes at a time. That was in addition to my two-minute scripted remarks. So in that way, I think I was able to enlarge the degree of communication to a considerable amount.
Reporter Peter Arnett, recorded in 1994. Arnett is back in Iraq, reporting on the UN weapons inspections for the New Zealand paper The Southland Times. Tomorrow night, HBO premieres the docudrama Live from Baghdad, a behind-the-scenes look at how CNN covered the Gulf War in 1991. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.